Good morning. Today we're going to begin a new study. We're going to begin looking at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Before we get into that, though, let me just take a moment to say thank you for those of you who have been giving me some feedback on the broadcast. It encourages me a great deal to know when people are receiving a blessing from the Bible studies. And I do appreciate those who have let me know. And let me encourage you, those of you who perhaps have found them a blessing but not said anything about it, I would appreciate it tremendously if you'd let me know. Okay, give me a call or drop me a line in care of the station. Or for that matter, let me throw this out as well. From time to time, we have people who will come and visit our services. I know I've asked sometimes, you know, hey, good to have you here. How did you happen to find us? And sometimes people will say, well, I've been listening to you on the radio and wanted to see if, you know, you preach the same way in the flesh. And it pleases me to know that people are listening and are interested enough to go ahead and follow up on it. If you would like to visit our services, by all means, give me a call. Area code 740-742-2431. I'm in the phone book, and I'm not that hard to find. Alan Blackwood is my name, and I pastor Calvary Bible Church. If you would like to visit our services, call me, and I'll be glad to give you directions. If you say, well, just words of that, and if I have time, I'll come look you up. Calvary Bible Church is located on County Road 25 in Meigs County, Ohio. For some of you, you might know it as the Pomeroy Pike. If you were, oh, let's say, in Pomeroy, and you were on Route 7 headed toward Marietta, just outside of Pomeroy at Five Points, County Road 24, I believe it is, swings off, and you come to the first intersection, that's Flatwoods Road, you come to the first intersection, and you will find a four-way stop. Turn to the right, about a mile and a half on top of the hill. You'll find us up there on the left. Large red metal building. Be glad to have you visit the services. And as I said, if you need more details, depending on where you're coming from, give me a call, and we'll see that you get directions there. Also, let me remind you, our mailing address is Post Office Box 147, Middleport, Ohio, 45760. Middleport, Ohio, 45760. The Bible says, in care of Calvary Bible Church, Post Office Box 147, Middleport, Ohio, 45760. If you have comments, you have questions, you want a particular broadcast recording, be glad to make them available to you at cost. Okay, I believe that's about all the promo I want to waste time on today. Let's get into 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians is written by the Apostle Paul sometime around A.D. 50 or 51, sometime in that general time frame. As we begin chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus. Remember in times past I've told you when you're looking at a passage of Scripture, a new passage or a passage that may be troubling you as far as understanding it, always ask yourself, who's writing? Who's he writing to? What's he saying? Does it apply to me? And if it does, how can I make it affect the way I live? How can I put it into practice? Okay? Now, in answer to the first question, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from our Lord, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As in all of Paul's epistles, he introduces himself usually in the first verse, maybe as late as the second, but he'll always introduce himself. The only notable exception to that may be, and I emphasize may be, because we don't really know. Traditionally, the book of Hebrews is considered to be one of Paul's epistles, but if it is, he departs from the norm quite a bit in several respects, and one of those departures is he does not name himself as the author. He doesn't greet the recipients by name. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus are traveling together, and they are writing now to the church at Thessalonica, the church of the Thessalonians. You'll notice it says, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. He identifies the church. This is not some fly-by-night cult. He identifies the church. He says then in following, grace be to you, be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In all of Paul's writings, and I believe we mentioned this as we began the study in Galatians and then more recently in Romans, Paul will always include this little formula, grace and peace. Those two things are signature characteristics of Paul's writing. And again, as I mentioned about Hebrews being the exception, he does not. So, if Paul wrote it, I don't know why it changed his technique or his style. If he didn't, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. But that's another story. We'll come back now. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. They always follow in that sequence. Grace followed by peace. And there's a reason for that. There's a logical reason for it. And it's based on this. Without first having experienced the grace of God, there can be no real appreciation for peace. There can be no real experiencing of peace. Now, that said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first question, who's writing? Obviously, it's Paul. Who's he writing to? That also is easy. To the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father. Okay, now we've got the sender and the addressee, what's being said. And then follows all of the rest of the book. He begins with grace. It's a wonderful, marvelous starting point. And so he does. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he starts, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. You will notice before we finish the sentence, I mean, we've come to the end of verse 2, but the sentence itself doesn't end until you get down to verse 4. Let's take it section at a time. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. You'll notice that Paul is praying for this congregation, the people in it. He says, we give thanks to God always, always for you all. He's thanking God for this congregation. Why? Well, in answer to that question, you'll simply have to stay tuned as we look at the rest of the chapter. But you will notice he says, making mention of you in our prayers. Our prayers. And since he has mentioned Paul, he mentions himself and Silvanus and Timotheus, I think we see here reason to believe that they are praying together. There is a sweet bond that is formed between Christians when they pray together. One of the things that has fallen out of vogue, one of the things that is not as prevalent as it used to be, are midweek prayer services or prayer services at all. When God's people get together and share their requests, say, look, I need prayer for this, or pray for so-and-so, they're having a problem on the job, or they're sick, or pray for my cousin, or and they'll share their burdens on their hearts with their brothers and sisters in Christ. This has a tendency to form that family bond within a congregation. Today, as churches seem to be sliding toward nothing more, or becoming nothing more than social clubs, place to get together and swap gossip and see who you can impress. As they slide toward that, it has been because that bond has been weakened or broken or never was allowed to form in the first place. You'll note, if you have experience in what I'm talking about, you understand and you'll agree with me when people pray together for each other's needs, that closeness and the interest, the compassion and concern that's expressed one between the other. It's not just a matter that you're praying for them, but then after having prayed for them, you wait and you inquire. You're curious. You want to know, how did God answer that prayer? How did that request get solved? How did it get answered? What was the problem? And how did God intervene? How did God work with it? And it builds an interest in one another. And let me suggest this. I realize some of you who are listening may attend churches that do not have midweek services. Can I make a radical suggestion? Why don't you instigate a resurrection of prayer meeting? No, maybe not at church. Maybe in your own home. Maybe there you got some folks in the church that see the need. Invite them over. You don't have to have a big party. You don't have to feed, put out a big banquet or something like that. But, you know, just get together and maybe sit around maybe drink some coffee or tea or something and sit down and discuss some things you want to see happening in your church or discussing the request. Now, please don't do what a lot of people do. Don't allow prayer requests to become a time when you share gossip. Okay, and sometimes that happens. I'm sure you've seen it happen and heard it happen. Avoid that. But you'll find that it'll make a difference in your life and the life of others around you, those who are involved in this ministry of prayer. And it is a ministry. You used to hear people talk about the old prayer warriors. That's not to say that they were just mean, cantankerous people and they prayed. But they did battle in prayer. You say, I don't understand why you would use the term battle or warrior in connection with prayer. Well, you may have just made a confession of something you'd rather not have disclosed. And that is this. The more time you spend in prayer, the more you'll find it is indeed work. It is a struggle. Sometimes it is almost impossible to pray long enough to feel the peace of God come in response to your prayer. You need to work at it. You need to, and let's face it, sometimes because of a physical condition, you're sick, you're tired, something like that, you want to drift off. You ever prayed and just caught yourself waking up? You've fallen asleep while you're supposed to be praying? Does that embarrass you? Make you feel a little ashamed? Well, I suppose it's natural, and these things do happen, but it does point up the importance of finding a time when you're alert enough, when you're in shape, as it were, to carry on this ministry of prayer. Now, it says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. This is something that's a regular thing, something's ongoing. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Well, my time is gone, and we'll need to come back to verse 3 and following tomorrow. Time's about up for the day. I hope you'll get into the Word of God. Go ahead and read chapter 1 so you'll be ready for the next broadcast. Okay? That's it for today. See you tomorrow, 9 o'clock.